Hello?
Hey, what's up?
Since we've been stuck in quarantine, I've been looking for a new podcast to listen to. I was thinking something politically conscious, and you know how much I love music too. So I thought you might have a good recommendation.
I know exactly the show for you. You should check out Woke Tunes. That's a podcast hosted by DJ Dina where they talk about socially conscious music and the impacts it has on society. Actually, there's an episode on right now.
Never know Algeria. They're like, Algeria? Where is that? We're on the... yeah, we exist.
Yeah. They have a big hip-hop scene. And I know in Egypt, also is big as well.
Yeah. Welcome to Woke Tunes, a show where we break down the deeper meaning to music and the impacts the music has on society. This is DJ Dina, and today we will be looking at the impacts that North African music, and more specifically hip-hop, has had on first-generation Americans originally from North African countries. This topic in particular is special to me because being a first-generation Jordanian American, I can relate to this topic a bit. While Jordan is not in North Africa, it is a part of the Middle East. North Africa and the Middle East have a lot of overlapping cultural connections. Today, we will get the chance to hear from two first-generation North African Americans. We will hear about their exposure to the music from their countries of origin, as well as the impacts the music has had on them. First, before we can dive into the discussion, we should probably get some definitions on the table. In the study of hip-hop and social change in Africa, the terms cultural representation, combat music, and protest music often come up. A cultural representation is a physical representation of a culture that represents the culture to an audience of some sort. This can be accurate or inaccurate in its representation. Examples of cultural representations are music, movies, TV shows, books, magazines, etc. So you may be wondering, what's combat music and what is protest music? Well, in the study of music with the goal of social change, there are two primary types of music. Those are protest and combat music. Protest music is music that allows for an artist to criticize the government or speak out against a problem. This type of music speaks to both the people and the state. Combat music, on the other hand, speaks to the people with the goal of mobilizing them. It is a call to action. Lastly, I would like to touch on the topic of the Arab Spring. The Arab Spring was a political movement that started in 2010 and spread to most of North Africa and the Middle East. Citizens were inspired to rise up and protest their governments. Many hoped to overthrow the current governments. Some countries succeeded, but most were left with lasting impacts, leaving their country in fragile states. We cannot possibly discuss social and political change in North Africa without addressing this momentous event in North Africa. That was a gross simplification of the Arab Spring, but I want to leave enough time for a great conversation we have planned today. I'm so excited to welcome Habiba and Nyla to the show. Nyla and Habiba are both university students from the DMV and are close friends of mine. Nyla is a first-generation American from Algeria, and Habiba is a first-gen American from Egypt. They are both closely connected to their countries of origin, as that is something we have gotten to talk about a lot over the years. Welcome, Nyla and Habiba.
Hey!
Hey!
How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Habiba?
I'm good.
Thing, like topic and like podcast, I don't know, I just like this project. That's like really cool.
Same. I think
kind of a general question is like, what are some cultural representations of Algeria and Egypt in the West, or more generally of North Africa, that you see?
Okay, so I think for Egypt, it's usually like there's two very like polar opposite opinions. So people usually either think like, okay, Egypt, like belly dancing and that type of nightlife scene type thing, or they think more like oppressive, like bad government type thing. I feel like people either think one or the other. There's not really an in between, so it's like if you like talk to them, they're like, oh, like belly dancing, and or like it's one or the other. That's pretty much, that's what I feel. Yeah
I'd have to agree. Like for Algeria, like not a lot of people in the United States know about Algeria. I feel like there's a higher like presence of Algeria in Europe, but they're like, oh, Algeria, where's that? And then I'm like, oh, it's like North Africa. They're like, oh, like, how's your government doing? Like, I always get that question. Like, yeah, it's going.
Yeah.
Especially like after the Arab Spring, I think that's like the new.
Yeah.
But like people are like, oh my God, I know about that. And it's like, well, what do you really know? Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, well, have you seen specifically like maybe in media, in movies or anything like that you've seen that are, they could be accurate or inaccurate?
I feel like, let me see. I mean, did you watch the show called Dromi?
Yeah.
I feel like that is like one thing I can think of off the top of my head. But he was representing like Egyptian, or not even Egyptian, Muslims in America. I thought that was pretty interesting because it is somewhat accurate. Not completely, though. I feel like there were some things that were off, but I feel like for the most part, he did a good job. Like, especially when he went to Egypt, everyone there, not everyone, but a very big portion of people are obsessed with like the Western lifestyle and trying to kind of imitate that and like be part of that. Well, I feel like the people who grew up over here are kind of trying to reach back out to our culture. So it's different. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm figured with that.
Yeah.
I feel like Rami is like a good like explanation of like kind of first gen Americans, Arab Americans like trying to deal with like going back home. Everyone's like, oh, like you have money, like I want this, like I want this. Like when his like uncle took an iPad, like I just like had to laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it. It was like very different for some parts of it. Like I felt like different, and like I mean obviously I'm not from Egypt, but like I felt like I related to a lot of it, but also like a lot of it was different. But I felt like it was like a fair representation, and like the way that it was also a lot of different, this is the one kind of thing. I think he kind of made it clear that like his experience was different than a lot of other people's experiences too.
Yeah.
And I think where it gets lost in the conversation is like when people see one thing and they're like, that's everything. If you know any like cultural representations, like movies or music or anything that misrepresents North African countries,
the main like obvious one is like associating terrorism with everything. Like whenever they associate like Algeria, it's always like oh these are bad people. Like when I'm watching like you know like CSI, like the FBI movies, I'm like
yeah,
like that doesn't have to be associated.
Oh, yeah.
With but like that's what I'd say like the negative connotation of it. But like some I would say like sometimes like I do see like a positive representation, be like, oh, like this doctor from this country, like, oh, okay, that's good. Like when they associate a positive like connotation with the countries, it does like help uplift the overall like spirit, I guess. Like for example, this isn't quite about like North Africa, I would say, but there's this show called like 911, like first responders. And there's like a hijabi like firefighter, and it's like I like that representation because a lot of times in movies they're like, oh, like she's just taking off her scarf, she doesn't want to like assimilate, like she's oppressed or whatever. But like in that show, she's showing like she's trying to connect with herself and her culture, so I like that connotation. Like I'm obviously prefer that.
Yeah, like the 911 show on Fox, and then like Grey's Anatomy. She's Dr. Cawdrey doesn't have like a big role, but like it's a bit more accurate than like other shows. I feel like it's different because more recent American shows are a bit like that, but in Europe I've seen a lot more of the other way. Like I don't know if you guys have seen the show Elite.
Yes.
I actually really love that show. I hate what they did with like their hijabi character. But I guess like it can be realistic for some people, but like
I mean honestly, yeah, I knew some like girls that were like that, so like I see why, I guess, but it's not fair to like represent everyone as being that way because it's not.
I think they didn't do well in like being like this is her experience, and like they don't have any other characters or anything like that, so like that's what like the Spanish people are seeing, I guess. But I love that. But yeah, she's originally Moroccan, I believe. I think But yeah, I thought that was really cool because, like, I mean, in a way, like, obviously that's, like, exciting because that is representation, like, regardless. I mean, it's something, but...
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was nice to have, like, a hijabi be one of the main cast. Like, usually they're, like, a side character and not important, but she was, like, one of the main people. So I was like, okay, I like that.
Segueing into music, starting with, like, Nyla, what are some hip-hop artists or if you have specific songs that you have been exposed to? like...
Yes. Okay. So, like, like right now in Algeria, there's been mass protests that have been going on for like over a year now. So they started around like, I would say like February 2018, I think, or 2019. I'm not sure about the exact date, but I think this is because like the regime like in Algeria, like being like authoritative, like taking over, like we have like a president. We had a president who was in a wheelchair for like most of his presidency, and he's been president since 1999, and his brother is took over, but like he was still president, so when they would have votes it would just be his name, like so people weren't being heard. And like so one of the first songs that I set is called Wulad al-Bahja, so I think I sent that to you. And Yeah, so Wilad al-Bahja, they're basically a big small background on them. They're basically like a group of football supporters, or like soccer supporters, I should say. So like Algeria soccer, I mean, in North Africa, soccer is a huge part of the culture. Like even being like born here and everything and following like American sports, like everyone follows like Algerian sports, like home, like huge, huge thing. Okay. So Wilad al-Bahja are basically like these supporters from one of the teams in like the capital, and they're like known for being musical. So like Bahja is like a place like where they sing a lot. And for a minute, they like kind of spearheaded the whole protest movement because of like the lyrics that they used in their songs. So everyone tunes into like soccer matches and goes to soccer matches, like no matter like if they're against the government, for the government, or whatever. So they use this as an opportunity to like send their message out. So like they talk about how like there's drugs flooding into the community and no one's doing anything. They talk about how homes are like being broken and like people are being left with nowhere to live, no jobs, stuff like that. So like that's like something that, even as like being an American, I don't really see it like firsthand, but I still like understand like what they're going through, especially through this song. Soul King is basically, he's also an Algerian musician, but he's like based in France, but he like goes back and forth between Algeria and France. And he like has like a lot of like people who aren't Algerian that like to listen to his music, because his music is mostly in French, but you know, like French took over, so we all speak French, you know, whatever. But so he realized like the impact of Wilad al-Bahja, so he like worked with them and collaborated with them, and people who don't even like know about what's going on in Algeria were exposed to this song. So like the song's called La Liberté, which is liberty, and he's just talking about like the people wanting liberty, and it like went everywhere, like viral everywhere, like people were like making, like talking about it like on podcasts and like news and stuff like that. And it's called La Casa de Moradia, which is basically kind of like the White House, or okay, like where the government is set place. Yeah.
Music has to do with like sports games. So is this is something that people like sing at sports games, or like the audience sing?
Yeah. So everyone in the stadium, so there's thousands of people in the stadium, every single person memorized this like word by word, and they would just like sing.
That's it. That's kind of cute. Yeah.
So like this is when Soul King stepped in, and well, I don't know if they said stepped in, but he like worked with them with the song like La Liberté. So that, I think that like made it even bigger. But what they're kind of saying here is Sahel of Jerum Hajaninum. So it's like basically saying it's like sunrise and I'm still like awake, and I'm doing drugs, basically what they're saying.
Okay.
And it's like kind of like morbid, like, oh my god, and like why would you be singing this next to kids? But it's like the reality there, because there's no regulation on anything, and people want to like, the government like has like a huge strong hand like pumping in drugs into like lower income communities. And like it goes on, and it says like in the first term, this is what happening with the president, and then they're like on the first term of the presidency, the pupilla, which is the doll, died. So they're basically saying how he became like paralyzed, and he wasn't like being a president, and people, the government or the military was taking over. And then they're just like explaining how like people's lives aren't good, and no one's like helping. So like,
so this one came after the other one.
Yeah.
Okay. Liberty. La voix de ses familles, plein de chagrin. La voix qui prie pour un meilleur destin. Excusez-moi d'exister, excuse mes sentiments. Et si je dis que je suis heureux avec toi, je mens. Excuse-moi d'exister, excuse mes sentiments. Rends-moi ma liberté, je te le demande gentiment. So wait, so first, so Soul King is an artist who primarily sings in French, but is Algerian, or he's not Algerian?
He's Algerian.
Okay.
So like, yeah, I think he was born in Algeria, and then he immigrated to France, like, and he was like really young, like 7 or maybe, I don't know. Okay. So he primarily sings him, and also another one called La Girno, He also made a song like during what was going on, like we call it Al-Hirak, because it's like everyone's going out to protest. So in Latino, he's saying like Algeria mi amor, which is Algeria my love. It's like kind of mixes like Spanish and French. I don't really know. But in this one, like I think the music video kind of touched a lot of people, and like because it's showing like images of like people fighting, well not fighting, but like protesting. And the main thing about this protest is that even they've been doing it for so long, and even if the police were like kind of being aggressive, they remained like calm and they didn't use violence throughout all of it. So I think this has been like the longest standing like non-violent protest in like probably history, if I have my facts right, but or it's one of them. And so like there's sometimes like the police would put like barrels of rocks and stuff in the middle of the protests so people can like be aggressive and like fight, but people would like move them out of the way just so they wouldn't like, you know, and start the fighting or whatever. But yeah.
Okay. And then, well, something that we studied was like the different types of music that are like considered like music for social change and social justice. So there's like protest music, and then there's like music that calls to action, which is combat music. So do you feel like combat music is a lot less common than protest music, because it's a lot less common for an artist to like call for people to go out and protest and call for them to do action, because that's a bit more threatening to a lot of governments than just like talking about the current status and like more like standing with protesters? So is that something that you've seen, like one or the other is more common, or are people okay calling people to action in their music?
I feel like people don't directly call people into action. I think they want people to like know, oh, like this is a going on, like if you're not standing up for the government, if you're like for the government, like you should probably like reassess what's going on, like you probably have some privilege here, but like let's assess this. And then like another song that I sent you, like Lotfi Dubulkano 2016, Kima Hak. So he's an Algerian artist born and raised in Algeria, and he's not allowed in Algeria anymore. So now he lives in France, I believe. And it's because his music is very like targeted towards the government. So I think his music kind of leads on combat music, but he doesn't really tell people to like go and like fight. He just kind of says like he's a rapper. So he kind of talks, he like raps more about like the government like taking people's money, like it's very politically charged. Okay. So that's why he hasn't been back in Algeria in years, because if he goes, he probably like end up in prison because the government is very in control. Okay. So he's like a good example to look at for, I guess, combat music in a way.
Okay, so here I have that pulled up. We can play a little bit of that as well. What is this song specifically talking about?
So this song was released in 2016. So it was because it was before the mass protests really started. And people have always been aware of, like, you know, things have been going on, but like no one, I don't feel like every time people would start to go protesting, like they would get immediately shut down, like violence was used, and like they'd immediately get scared and shut down. And I think this is because, well, France has been in Algeria since 1962, like they left, and then after that there was like a civil war in Algeria and a lot of people died there, so they didn't want that to start again, because they're like, oh, what if we fight for our rights again and then we all die? So it's kind of stopped. And then so basically what he's saying is like, he's saying Kima Hak, which means, oh, it's just like this. And he's saying, like, what they did to, like, my family, what they did to everyone, they're, like, shutting us down, they're not letting us talk. And then he's talking about how he's still talking about, like, how the president, like, now he, after the protest, like, the first year of the protest, he's resigned, and now the government's, the military is in control. So he's saying how the government, the president just sitting there, and his brother is the one taking control with the military, like, forcing everyone to, like, not speak their mind, and like we shouldn't basically do that. And like that's what he's kind of like talking about.
So where is he now, like now that he can't really go back to Algeria?
France.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And yeah, so I guess, well, because the language connections, a lot of people, is that where a lot of Algerians,
yeah,
generally
yeah, definitely, there's like a huge like Algerian population in France, and it's, I think it's like a culture, I mean it's kind of similar because they've been in Algeria for so long, and mm-hmm. like language. And he also talks about saying, oh, you're trying to silence me. And that's like him, like, and he can't even go back into his own country that he was born in and is citizen of. Like, he has to stay in another country because he's like, freedom of speech is it, like, even though they say there's freedom of speech, if someone does speak out like he is, like, against the government, like, they will be in prison.
Okay. Who are some North African hip hop artists, or specifically Egyptian artists, who have influenced you, or just music that you've been exposed to?
I don't know if it's necessarily hip hop, but I know there's like a really well-known band in Egypt that speaks about like political problems. It's called Cairo Key. I don't know. They talk about a lot of political problems in Egypt, and a lot of people really like their stuff because they're honest about it. In Egypt, like, that stuff isn't really addressed that much just because of how like harsh the government comes down on it. They don't like anyone speaking badly about like our country and whatnot, so you won't find a lot of bands that do that. So they're one of like the ones that are pretty well known. I think one song, Sot El Hurriya, The Sound of Freedom, that they made that during the 2011 revolution, when we were like during the Arab Spring, when we were trying to overthrow the president. So it was like, it was kind of encouraging people to like go out and like protest. Like, oh, like, the sound of freedom is calling you, type of thing.
That,
yeah.
That's like, I don't know if you've heard the song Hel Me Some.
Oh yeah, I know.
Okay, so that song was like, I don't know, I think it was Google who said it was like this, like, called it the song of the year in 2011, which was also like, you know, in the height of the Arab Spring. And yeah, that song, like, kind of is similar to this one.
Rami Issam is another, I think, like, well-known person for like speaking out against the government, type of thing. Yeah.
Have they had to like leave, or have they found that it's okay for them still to be in Egypt, or after speaking out?
I honestly don't know. Like, I feel like Cairo Key always had like problems. I remember like booking things, like having like being able to like perform and stuff, but like I don't think they've been kicked out or anything. Rami Issam, I'm not, yeah, we have like a genre called Shabby. I don't know if other, yeah, but shabby music is like, that's all the youth like listens to, like that's what's really, really popular. And it's actually gotten to the point where I think that there's like a ban on it right now, where like the main artists aren't like allowed to make any more music because of how big of an impact their music is having on the youth. Like,
oh wow.
Yeah. Like, so like Muhammad Ramadan, Hamubika, like artists like that make that type of music, yeah, they're not like allowed to make anymore. I don't know how long that's gonna like,
okay, be. But that's not for like being like, it's just because of how big of an influence it does.
Yeah, yeah, no, that it has nothing to do with politics. It's just like the youth is acting out, type of thing. And it's like it promotes like bad activity, if that, okay, makes sense. So like that's, yeah, like,
yeah,
yeah, like,
I know what you mean.
Blogs, like, yeah, that,
yeah,
yeah,
wow. That's so interesting. Yeah, because I know his song Inside. Well, I know, yeah, my cousins love his music. I'm like,
I love
music. Like, I know all these songs. My cousins are from Jordan. But yeah, they also, it's big, big music there. Like, Mafia is a big song.
Oh my God, yeah.
But yeah, like, big hit. Wow.
Yeah. Like, Muhammad Ramadan, that's not new for him. Like, since he's, like, gotten famous, like, he's, like, had a very big impact on the Egyptian youth, like, in a bad way. So, like, he's always been having problems like this. So, like, that's not really new for him.
Yeah.
But, like, just to, like, ban the whole genre is kind of, like, that's insane. Like,
yeah, that's actually really big.
Yeah.
Deal. That's so interesting. And then, I guess,
yeah, Algeria, they also listen to, like, Shabby, like, Egyptian Shabby. Like, it's big there, too.
I don't know if he's still popular, but Ahmed Mekki, he's older music, but I know he sings a lot, or like raps a lot about like drug usage in Egypt, and like he's more of like a cautionary guy. It's not like an encouraging music. But then like there's more recent music that I looked into. I know that compared to a lot of other countries, Egypt has a really big hip hop scene, like compared to a lot of African countries.
Yeah.
Marwan Pablo.
Oh, I know him, yeah.
But yeah, he's somebody who speaks more positively about drugs that I found. But I thought that was an interesting juxtaposition that, like, the hip-hop artist was, like, speaking more negatively, like, about it, but he was speaking more positively about it. But is that, like, a big problem in Egypt, or that's just something that they happen to?
Drugs or what?
Yeah, like, for the youth or something like
that? Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's becoming, like, a pretty big problem. Like, people are getting their hands on, like, substances we haven't even heard of here. Like, we're like, it's just weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Talk about how, like, the negative effects outside of, like, parents being like, you shouldn't do that. But, like, I don't know. Like, I know here, like, there's a lot of, like, campaigns you can say, like, against, like, things like that. Is that something that...
Nothing that I've seen, honestly. Like, not a lot. Unless maybe, like, you mentioned in some people's music, but, like, it's not really a big thing.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like in Algeria, like, there are some campaigns, but it's nothing that I see, like, in the news or anything, like, because it exists and people talk about it a lot, but I feel like it's not something, like, they would, I don't know, that, like, they wouldn't really put it on the news, like, unless they, like, do, like, some type of bust or something. Like, I know, like, the new president, like, that was just elected, which he's not really elected, but whatever, his son was in prison for bringing cocaine into Algeria, like, a lot of it, and the first thing he did when he became president was take him out of jail. So, like, the people in charge are part of the problem. Okay. And, like people are aware of that. And, like, something with that, when he became president, everyone, like, from, like, the oldest people to the youngest, went out with flour on their hand and their face to pretend that they were snorting cocaine. Oh. As, like, a symbol. And they posted it all over social media and everything. They'd be like, oh, like, we're doing cocaine now, because, like, I guess that's normal. Wow. Just to, like, show, like, oh, your son's, like, a whole... drug dealer, and you're just passing him, like, out of prison, like, out of a deal.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. That's crazy. Yeah. Cause I guess, like, also, like, the social taboos, that's something that we talked about a lot, is, like, what like, people talk about more social taboos in music than they do, like, actually, like, in conversation or something like that. Cause, like, I mean, just speaking from personal experience, I know, like, in Jordan, at least, people would talk about how it's such a big problem, but, like, you didn't see it on the TV, like, or, like, the classic station, like, NBC isn't, like, playing, like, I don't know, like drug warning things, because, like, people don't want to acknowledge that it's such a problem to the point of, like, making a commercial about it or something like that. Like, the problem, which, like, leaves, like, I don't know. So, like, that's how, yeah, I found that a lot of the artists, that's something that they were talking about, either positively or negatively. It wasn't necessarily, like, there was a trend that everyone was talking about it in one way. But I thought that was, like, an interesting...
You guys remember, like, elementary school, they would give us, like, don't do drugs. Like,
yeah, like, literally, like, elementary school, and they'd be like, say no to drugs. What is that?
Yeah.
I remember that so much. Yeah, we were, like, really young when they started talking about things like that, and, like, I didn't even know what drugs were. They're like, say no. Like, it was
okay.
I remember, like, when I learned about it, I went home, and, like, my dad's like, how do you know about all these drugs? Like, I was, like, screaming, and he's like, oh, we learned about this and this. I didn't know about them until I was, well, like, over your age, and I'm like, yeah, we learned about it.
That has led some people, and I guess even in Algeria, like, if the music speaks positively about something that, like, comes with, like, negative consequences, like, for example, drug usage, or, like, I don't know, different activities that, like, youth might take part in, that is actually, like, leading to an increase in the usage of it. Like, do you think that those two things correlate, or if that it's not that?
I think, yeah, I think for sure, actually. Yeah. People are, especially youth, are very easily influenced, and when they see some things like, oh, this is cool, and this is, like, what the cool people do, and, like, everyone wants to do it, like, everyone wants to be part of that, so, like, I can see why there's, like, I think there's a positive correlation between the two.
Yeah,
I definitely have to agree. Like, there's this, like, singer called, like, Shabilo, or I'm not really sure of his name, but he talks about, like, drinking and, like, getting high, and, like, people play him a lot at parties, and, like, like, you know, when they go hang out, and, like,
yeah,
it influences it.
From, like, the music that we talked about, I guess, like, are there specific, like, artists or people that you feel spoke most accurately to, like, the reality of Algeria or Egypt that you knew, that you already, like, knew from, like, perhaps your parents or, like, visiting or things like that? Or if there are a lot of people who are exposing you to, like, new realities, I guess you could say.
I think, like, from what I've experienced going to Algeria, it's, like, very different to the people who are living there day by day. But I've, like, realized some of, like, the tension. Like, we have something in Algeria, like, you can't travel, like, a few miles without being stopped by a cop and searched. So when I was younger, I remember, like, they've been doing this since, like, the Civil War stuff. But I remember when I was younger, I was driving to my grandpa's house, like, with my dad in the car. And, like, after a few miles, obviously, my dad got stopped. And, like, they popped the trunk. They checked the car, see what you have, who's there. And then he started questioning my dad and who I was. My dad was like, oh, it's, like, her dad. And, like, they wanted proof of that. And my dad's like, I don't have her passport. Like, we're just, like, traveling. But it kind of shows, like, the control. Like, that's, like, very, like, small compared to, like, the control the government does have, like, and controlling everyone's life and, like, you know, flooding drugs into low-income and, like, poverty-stricken communities and stuff like that. So I think, like, Lotfi Double Canal, like, the Lotfi DK 2016, mm-hmm. that song, like, really kind of, like, when I was younger, I was like, oh, like, I don't know why that's happening. That's weird. They don't check us, like, in America. But mm-hmm. now, like, listening to them, listening to the lyrics, I'm like, oh, like, yeah, there's really, like, bad government and, like, citizen tension and stuff like that, yeah.
I think, so, the time of the revolution, like 2011 and stuff, like obviously I was a kid and, you know, I don't even live in Egypt, so it was kind of like hard for me to like grasp what was really going on. But actually, like, songs did actually play like a major part of me like understanding and comprehending, because like the song, like the Cairo, the Sot El Hurriya, and like there were a bunch of other ones that spoke about the protest. Like, I was 11, but I felt, like, the spirit of the revolution. And I was understanding, like, oh, this is why people are, like, protesting against the president. Like, as a kid, you don't really understand that when you're, like, whether you're living in it or visiting it. Like, you don't really understand. But those songs really, like, put it into perspective, I guess you could say. Like, even for people who are so young. Yeah.
Okay.
As more patriotism for people who especially are not living in the countries, like, I feel, like, really connected to my country, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, music and songs.
From, like, the, like, all that we've talked about and, like, the music and the ways that you were influenced to Algeria and Egypt, do you feel, like, through, like, maybe music that you've been exposed to kind of, like, a different image of the country than perhaps your parents, because some of the music, like, specifically targets the youth, so, like, maybe it's not music that your parents are listening to, but it's something that, like, our generation is listening to, so then that makes you, like, see your country differently than how your parents might see it or something like that. That makes sense. I don't know if that was confusing.
And that, yeah, I think the shabby genre, like I said, like, my parents don't listen to, they're like, what is this garbage, like, why do you guys even bother listening to this type of thing? But the image that portrays is more like of a, like, carefree, like, I don't know how to explain it, but it's definitely not the same image my parents see the country as. Like, I feel like I probably see it a little bit differently. Probably sees the country differently than their parents do, because of, like culture changes with generation. So I feel like this generation's music kind of, like, encompasses that. So, yeah.
I think a lot of the music, like, I guess my generation kind of listens to, like, I like to listen to it too, is, like, kind of, like, bands like T.O.T. they, like, kind of talk about more, like, having fun, like, enjoying the moment and stuff like that. And, like, you know, I like those type of songs, but I don't know. I feel like my parents, like, don't really listen to it, don't really, like, understand, like, the same songs. They'll be like, oh, like, what is the meaning of this song? Like, what is the message they're trying to put across? I'm like, yeah. It doesn't all have to be a message, you know?
Yeah.
If you were to write a hip-hop song and that would be, like, released in Algeria or in Egypt, what is something that you feel like isn't being said that should be said?
I feel like I would... So, I know, like, there are political songs, but I feel like the songs specifically target, like, the person in charge at the time, if that makes sense. I feel like I would do something more general about, like, the political corruptness that's in our country, because I don't really hear a lot about that, like, in general. Like, people are always, like, targeting, oh, like, this dictator, this, but, like, why? It's because, like, we have this system type of thing, and this is what we're, like, enabling. So, like, I feel like I would talk about that, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think I would kind of target maybe, like, youth, I guess. Like, youth play, like, a huge role, like, in Algeria, and, like, in many countries, obviously. But I think they really don't have hope, like, that much hope. That's why a lot of people are turning to, like, things. Like, they're dropping out from school. Like, Algeria has a very, very high, like, dropout rate. And like, I know, like, even, like, neighbors, like, in Algeria, like, they drop out, and they're like, oh, yeah, like, there's no point, because, like, they don't have hope. They're like, oh, like, what am I going to do? Am I going to graduate? And I'm not going to get a job. So, like, trying to target that, like, spreading hope, something, like, I don't know. It's, like, trying to do something, like, to help move the country forward. Yeah.
I like that, yeah.
Thank you, Nala and Habiba, for joining us on today's episode. I appreciate that we were able to connect despite all of us being in quarantine. Thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in to this episode of Woke Tunes. I hope we provided some thoughtful entertainment for you while many of us are stuck at home doing our part in flattening the curve. Stay safe, everyone.